Let's check the news. Nathan Cones has our update from the KCIM News Studio.
Thank you very much, John, and good morning, everyone. A high-speed pursuit in Sac County last week led to felony charges against an Odebolt man. According to the Sac County Sheriff's Office, law enforcement received a report of a suspicious vehicle in the area of 325th Street and Guard Avenue, northeast of Odebolt, at approximately 10:52 p.m. on Thursday evening. Officials had previously received reports of this vehicle parked in front of residents in Odebolt. Upon arriving in the area, deputies located a vehicle matching the caller's description, heading south toward Highway 175. Authorities say the vehicle, operated by 39-year-old Ryan Edward Miller, attempted to elude law enforcement by taking off at a high rate of speed and driving through yards and alleys in an attempt to lose law enforcement. The vehicle pursuit ended when Miller collided with a tree in the 100 block of West 4th Street, but he fled the scene on foot. Deputies, with the assistance of K-9 Remo, continued the chase and apprehended Miller a few blocks south. Miller was booked into the Sac County Jail on charges of eluding while exceeding the speed limit by 25 miles per hour or more, a Class D felony, first offense operating under the influence, a serious misdemeanor, and possession of drug paraphernalia and reckless driving, simple misdemeanors. Miller's criminal record in Iowa includes prior convictions for felony drug possession, eluding law enforcement, burglary, and theft. He was booked into the jail pending additional charges. Looking elsewhere, the Carroll City Council convenes this evening for its next meeting and will proceed with the regulatory steps necessary for the community's newest housing subdivision near the Carroll Municipal Golf Course, that division known as Gulfview. According to City Manager Aaron Koiker, this involves vacating a right-of-way agreement with Carroll County on Northwest Street and rezoning the area from an agricultural A1 district to a low-density residential or R3. Koiker says the council has a public hearing on that rezoning scheduled for tonight, which will include input from the Planning and Zoning Commission. During the P&Z's April 10th meeting, a motion to approve the zoning change failed on a 2-6 vote. Koiker says the council has the final say on zoning changes. Still, officials will need to consider the commission's reasons for voting no.
It's a recommendation to council, so council can still do whatever they want, but they take the recommendation of P&Z into account. One of the questions I had in the P&Z meeting was what the reasoning for not approving the rezoning, and their discussion was more on the cost of the project, which is not P&Z's purview. So that's what council's going to have to take into account.
Following the hearing, the council will consider that first reading of an ordinance amendment adjusting the proposed Gulfview subdivision zoning category. Koiker says the council will also take a look at a separate housing issue during the meeting. The city recently acquired a property at 1114 North Main Street, and they will review bids from developers to purchase that parcel.
So this property has been a little bit of a nuisance property for a number of years, and the city was going through what is called the 657A process or the abandoned home process with it. Well, it then ended up going into a foreclosure. So the city contacted the bank, and we purchased the property from the bank rather than go through the entire legal process. And then now we're putting it out to bid. Expectations are that property will get torn down because it is in very poor shape, and then somebody will build on it.
Bids will be opened at tonight's meeting, and the winning bidder will be selected. In order for the sale to proceed, the council must hold the public hearing, which is tentatively scheduled for the May 13th council meeting. Koiker says he'll bring his proposals as well for city action on the community's downtown based on recommendations from the Iowa Economic Development Authority's Downtown Resource Center's visit in November of 23.
The downtown design guide is part of the approval. Also part of this is we want to allocate funds so that we can start doing a larger downtown facade project and projects with going forward. Those are the main focuses of that. Also, we want to set funds aside to do a PR campaign for the city. And that'll also include wayfinding for signs. It'll be the branding for the city, all those good things.
The proposal includes a total appropriation of $315,000 from the local option sales tax fund to go towards the downtown. Around $250,000 will be split between two $100,000 demonstration projects and five $100,000 facade projects. The remaining $65,000 is devoted to marketing services, branding, and wayfinding in the city. Those figures are subject to council approval, of course. Other items on tonight's agenda include the second reading of a city sign code amendment, an Arbor Day proclamation, adjustments to parking regulations on Main Street near Adams Elementary, and an engineering services agreement for sanitary service to the planned Ziegler facility west of Carroll. Tonight's meeting is open to the public and will be live streamed via the city's YouTube channel. The agenda and links to the video are included with this story online. And the Carroll Community School District issued a statement Friday in response to some pushback concerning a new banner installed at the Carroll Athletic Stadium. And in the written statement, school officials say the Carroll Tiger Booster Club recently purchased a banner to display at the stadium during our home athletic events. We are incredibly grateful to the Booster Club for this and their support of Carroll activities. A few community members have raised questions about the banner, considering the fact that Kemper Catholic uses the Carroll Athletic Stadium as well. Please know that the banner is not permanent and will be taken down after Carroll Tiger events when Kemper Catholic is scheduled to host an event next in the stadium. We hope this clears up any confusion. That banner is located on the West Bleachers in Reed's home of the Carroll Tigers. You can find a photo of that included with the story on our website as soon as we get done with the newscast.
It's Monday.
Yeah, it's it's a struggle bus. Another thing I wanted to talk about briefly is the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, which is a mouthful, has a contest going on, and it's the coolest thing made in Iowa. And one of the nominees this year is actually Dobson Pipe Organ Builders out of Lake City.
Yeah,
and it's going to take a little bit of people's help to get that project to continue. So there's a bit of a schedule for that. So you can go to coolestthingsia.com, and I'll have a link on the website as well coming up here in the next half hour or so, hopefully. But you can go on there and you can vote, and the voting actually opens today, and there's a bit of a schedule for that. So the nominations just got announced at the end of last week. So there's a popular vote round that goes this week, and then we'll get down to the top 16, and then it's basically like April Madness here. So there'll be a round of voting, top eight announced, a second round of voting, top four, and then a final round of voting. So I don't know what else. I mean, a ton of stuff is made in Iowa, but pipe organs have got to be in the top one.
Hey, this side of a Twin Bing candy bar, there's nothing cooler than the pipe organ.
That's an odd comparison to make. It seems way out of the. I mean, there's a lot.
Iowa thing to me is the Twin Bing. It's because I've been to the Twin Bing store in Sioux City, but
I would say Corner Beans probably the most iconic. But you don't really manufacture them, I suppose. You grow them. But besides that, you think about all the manufacturing that goes on. There's a lot of places that make a lot of things, but. Like pipe organs, there's like 10 places on the whole planet. I mean, I'm being a little bit dramatic there, but
actually, there's quite a few. Actually, even in the United States, there's many pipe organ builders out there. But when you're talking about the level of like status, Dobson Pipe Organ Builders definitely in probably the top three as far as like you know just high quality and thought of and reputation wise in the pipe organ business. And I had no idea about any of this until my wife started working there at Dobson Pipe Organ Builders. She is the business manager, and just to let you know that. But I have learned a lot of
conflict of interest reasons out of the way.
It's fascinating too.
It's just kind of one of those small world things. But my neighbor actually works for Dobson. And he travels all the time.
Yeah.
I did not realize how much time on the road those guys and gals spend.
Tons.
Like, it is nuts how long they're
going. They go out on service trips. Yeah, they were just got done installing a pipe organ in Sydney, Australia. They've done England, then New York. I mean, some of the biggest ones. They're coming up on projects. Curtis School of Music in Philadelphia, which is like a multi-million dollar organ. And I'm like, I asked my wife one day, I said, how do you start building a pipe organ? And she goes, I have no idea.
She does the numbers, Jeff.
Everybody else there knows how to build a pipe organ. My wife knows how to run the business. So...
A friend of mine always used to tell me there's two types of people. People who want to know how the clock works and people who want to know what time it is, right?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to pipe organs, people just want to hear the sound because they're gorgeous. There's something that just shakes your soul when you have a really clear crystal pipe organ. But when you look into the internals on those, it makes your head spin. There's so much stuff going on in there.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, all you see when you see pipes on something, know that there are thousands more. In those pipe organs, there could be up to 15,000-20,000 pipes the size of a pencil, all the way up to the huge ones that are 4 foot wide or something. They're just crazy. And if you get a chance, Google it on time sometime. Dust Dobson Pipe Organ on YouTube, and you're going to find some crazy videos on there for that.
Yeah, and they're getting ready to celebrate their opening of their new facility. That's I believe planned for this summer.
So yeah, it is.
When I talked to Mr. Panning, might be a question I have for him. How many miles of, like, in their biggest, what do they call them? The term for when they do a project, it's a thing.
Yeah.
What is that called?
I have no clue.
It's like art. They call them art.
But oh, anyway. It's an opus.
Opus. There it is. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. But like how many miles in your biggest opus of pipe? I'd be curious of that.
Oh, man. Just the wiring that goes into those things. Crazy, crazy stuff. So very cool. Get online and vote for him. You'll have that story online with the links to be able to vote for Dobson Pipe Organ Builders coming up soon, right?
Yep, absolutely. Hopefully here in the next 10-ish minutes.
All right. Then look for that online at 1380kcim.com and also look for my new podcast, Must Know People. That's dropping about 10 o'clock this morning.